Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
And welcome to Spiritual Spectrum, practical spiritual living relating to the supernatural and paranormal. Join the path of spirit, heart, and the way of mastery, deepening our inner relationship with our indwelling divine presence. Our greatest protection against the negative and darkness that waits within and without is our own healthy wholeness and spiritual identity as sons and daughters of the light. So our one prayer for all is live this moment in every moment as the divine presence living you in Christ's light and love. And we want to thank, is it Skillet for that inspirational piece?
Awaken Alive by Skillet.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Awesome, awesome.
Okay, Micah, would you open with prayer for us?
Oh, gladly. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for your gift of today. May I open my present one precious moment at a time, and may I share your love found in each moment with everyone whom I will encounter. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, tonight I'm going to ask you for prayers and light for my stepfather and my mother. It seems that my stepfather had a mild stroke. I just was informed of it. But send them out all of the love and light that you possibly can. But to know this, no matter what happens on this side or the other side, ultimately our Heavenly Father, who loves each and of us infinitely, seeks for our wholeness and happiness. Human life, objectively considered, is a growing and unfolding progressive process. It never remains static. As we grow and unfold our individuality, that which we are innately are, it is a satisfaction to know that only that which is evolved into the Christ pattern of man by our divine creator can be evolved or unfolded into a permanent manifestation. Reason tells us that there must be a basic consciousness or a first mind out of which this continuous unfoldment takes place and arises. As God alone is, it is God who is manifested in an ever-present creation. The rule of creative process is that all processes out of the infinite, all. Visible creation appears according to the spiritual pattern for it, the image in the mind of the infinite. As I've always said, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, it's a historical story about the soul's departure from God to grow on its own through its own free will and free choices, and its choice to return to God by that same free will and free choice. So, Rhonda, we have a marvelous set of guests tonight. Would you introduce one of the, probably one of the best. I know only of one other at this point, paranormal investigation teams out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in that area.
Well, we have on with us tonight Father Mike, Quantum Psi Group, out of Marion,
right,
Iowa, with our core members here, Darcy, and we have Kathy on with us. Hey, Darcy. And Kathy, are you there?
I am.
Okay.
Good.
And we have Stephanie.
Hello.
And Kevin.
Hi, Steph.
Good evening.
Evening,
and
Kevin.
I do believe we have Lori, right?
That's correct.
So?
And there should
Hi.
Be one other, Sean?
Shannon.
Shannon.
Yes.
Shannon,
welcome.
There we go, good.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the question and answers, why don't we just take a few minutes. Let's go through the folks, starting with Darcy. Darcy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in part of the paranormal team?
Well, I am the lead caseworker and one of the team leads on the team. We started about 2 years ago and started forming a group. I been studying the paranormal since I was a kid. I actually started backwards. I started in the library and then ended up in the field.
Yeah, of course.
So it wasn't until just recently that I decided that, you know, I think I've made enough contacts in the networking and stuff. I think we could really offer something to this community. So we started working locally. I also work for the community college here and teach classes on the subject. And,
wonderful.
Got a lot of talented people on this team. A mixture of metaphysical and scientific.
Good. Next. Jump right in.
Oh, you're not going to call on people now, huh?
Yeah. Okay, how about Stephanie?
Okay, well, I'm Stephanie, and I've been with the group for a little while now. I actually started with the group because I had been picking up on a few things myself. They're doing intuitive readings, picking up on spirits. I wouldn't call myself a full-fledged medium, but sometimes I do pick up on things, and I just wanted to have more of those experiences and just to be able to help families deal with things in their homes,
sure.
Dealing with that fear, just looking at it from the basis of wanting to provide resolution. So that's where I'm coming from. But with Darcy's help, I have learned how to use the tools in the field as well, and I'm proud to say that I can wield a video camera.
Hey.
And
right.
I know how to even view audio evidence. So.
Uh-huh.
Very cool.
Okay, how about Kathy?
Hi, I've been with the group since the very beginning, and Darcy and I have worked together off and on several years before that. I am a medium, and that is mainly where I bring my talents into the group.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know how to take pictures and run the recorder.
Okay, all right. Kevin?
I'm the technical side of it. I've only been with the group a few months now. Darcy and I used to work together, and she asked me to how certain things physically work and why some things don't. And it started from that, and I've been helping her with teaching the physical side of it and why things work the way they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. I think every team needs a systematic engineer, systems engineer like yourself. I think that would benefit many of the paranormal groups, or at least have access to such. I look forward to learning your insights tonight.
Thank you.
How about Shannon?
Well, I think the main reason I joined the group was that I am Stephanie's husband.
Welcome, yes.
But I do a little bit of everything. I do have a little bit of mediumship ability. It's not very strong yet, but I'm working on developing it. And I really get the tech side, and I'm kind of into the history and the research, and I kind of back up everybody.
Right. So you're an all-around man that's capable of doing most everything.
I would say I'm an all-around second banana, kind of learning
yeah.
how to do everything and trying to find my right slot.
You're right. Now, do you ever run into any of the problems with that mediumship messing with the technical, or the technical messing with the mediumship, since they come from different parts of the brain?
I wouldn't say I have any cognitive dissonance about that, but sometimes
okay.
I wonder if
yeah.
maybe I'm not picking up EVPs or getting, you know, physical evidence because I may be shielding too hard or
yeah.
you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. So we have one more, do we not?
Yep,
one
that's
more,
me.
Yes. Okay, hello.
Yep. Hi, it's Lori. I've been with the group a couple of months now. I kind of started when Kevin did. I knew Darcy back in a different group that kind of fizzled out. and took one of her classes, and then kind of went from there, and I'm still kind of learning where my spot is yet.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure you'll find your spot in your giftings very soon, indeed. What's the overall goal and vision for your group?
Well, we want to go ahead and help as many people as we can between education and resolution. So we want to be able to step into an environment where the client may not understand what's going on, maybe a little bit of fear going on, and maybe clarifying that with education. Over the years, I've found out that I've become less and less fearful of things the more I learn about
Good.
Them.
Good.
So I'm trying to carry that on into a community-based environment. But I have a lot of people with a lot of knowledge that obviously I don't have. Kathy comes with a very strong sensitivity. Stephanie also has sensitivity. You should also talk about your angel work, honey.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. I just totally forgot.
She does fantastic work calling upon the angelic when we need it. And we've had to do that.
Yes.
So everybody brings a little something special to the group.
Of course.
So it's multifaceted.
And you need all of that giftings and talents and knowledge. You really do.
Yeah.
What would you say has been some of your most recent cases?
Well, we've
without giving
had,
details and breaking.
Well, we just had.
Go ahead.
Oh, we just had two within the last week, where we were actually called in to assist with another investigation that was primary and. To bring it to its conclusion, we helped out. Came in and got something to move on that shouldn't have been there anymore. And then just recently, we had a private health assessment where we were called in to try to figure out what it was that was going on. Could we identify it? And we called in some extra help for that one, too. And we're still monitoring the situation. But I think we're moderately successful with that.
Good. Over the last year, would you say there's been certain type of manifestation that has been going on, which you have noticed? Prevalent?
Well, I'll have to say, I've been in the field for 18 years. I know Kathy's been in the field for quite a while, too. And maybe we could both answer this question, but I know I feel like within the last 2 years, I have never encountered anything that I would classify as demonic.
Right.
But all of a sudden.
Right.
And I don't know if I can chalk that up to anything, per se,
but
it is unique.
Any other insights out there? How about you, Kathy?
Well, I haven't been on as many of their investigations recently, and I haven't seen a real big influx of any type of more demonic type things happening. So.
But other than demonic, even is there any particular manifestations that's been reoccurring, been consistent?
Well, we have come into a handful of situations in the last couple of private situations where we've run into a situation that we might classify as called unregistered mediumship.
Okay.
And it's not when the location itself is actually haunted. It's not that the land itself is actually haunted.
Right.
It's the people that are haunted.
Right.
Because they have a sensitivity that they hadn't quite either come to terms with or didn't realize that they had.
Right.
And it draws activity into the home in a rather prolific manner.
Right. Yes.
And they end up calling us trying to find out what the heck is going on. This house isn't that old. Why is this going on?
Right.
That's when we get into a little bit of the education aspect.
Mm-hmm. Well, overall, the way what I am seeing, and it's really been prevalent for the last, at least the last couple years, and not only is influencing what we call the paranormal world and everything that's going on within that, but in individual lives, with whatever energies we are dealing with, whatever things we are processing and going through collectively, I think humanly, I've noticed things have speeded up. And so, you know, folks, those good things that you do, know for certain that they're going to come back, and they're going to come back quick. But be aware, too, that those negative things are coming back just as quick. And it's affecting all of us within our lives. And, of course, I think it's part of the cycle. I think it's a part of the cycle that we go through when we experience these earth changes in what we call changes of age and cycles that creation goes through. They begin to build and they begin to peak out. And it's normal. It's normal. And yet, it's concerning and it brings a lot of tension, stress, conflict into people's lives when they don't understand. So,
yes.
Well, next time I'm up in Iowa, I certainly want to meet the whole group. I did have a beautiful time with Stephanie and Darcy and appreciated the time we spent together.
Likewise.
I think we learned a great deal from one another. Rhonda or Micah,
have you got any questions?
Damn, yeah.
Well, I'm going to let Rhonda go first since you got her name wrong.
Okay, do.
Okay.
Now remember, it's first day.
First name? What?
It's first day. Clean up that language. Go ahead, Rhonda. I'm just giving you a bad time today.
I know you are. You're
yeah, I love you.
Okay, to the team. We've had this discussion several times before between us on Live Paranormal. How do you feel about teams actually having some type of medical certification, whether it's first aid, CPR, or having like a prepared first aid kit when you go on investigations? I know anything and everything is possible, and the health and the physical health and the mental health of your teammates all needs to be taken into consideration when you're going into these investigations. How do you feel about that, and how do you think people can prepare for these investigations for these possible medical situations happening?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Rhonda. We really haven't quite talked about the medical equation. I could see why that would be important. I know for the mental health aspect, we have tried to keep a somewhat of either a counselor with us or somebody with a social work background that can actually help on investigations. Really haven't considered it as an actual tool for us to use as a group,
mm-hmm.
for ourselves. That's an interesting insight.
Yeah. Well,
Evan here, I would
go ahead,
definitely suggest if you're going to somewhere you've never been before, some of the places that people go, like you would think a graveyard would be safe. Well, from a medical standpoint, there's a lot of old rusty things around a graveyard, and if you're wandering around there in the wrong time of day, wrong time of night, you may not see it, and it may get you, you know, from a physical damage standpoint. So yeah, those are probably very good ideas to include at least a minimal first aid kit with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's always been my opinion that groups, paranormal groups, even as difficult as it is to make those initial connections, as a group, we have a responsibility not only to the public, but the clients that we serve and to ourselves, that we bring on board as many professional trained people that we can, covering all of the bases, health, mental health issues, spiritual issues, technical, scientific, psychological. All of these are so, I think, very important, not only for serving the public and clients that we serve, but for their protection as well as ours. And I think it's so very important to continue to educate, especially those people in the what we would call the higher professional category. I'm glad to hear some are beginning to reach out to your classes and to your training. That's a real joy for me to hear. Hopefully some of these folks will start coming out of their professional closets and join the rest of us in the real world. We vitally need their input, their help.
Well, that's, yeah. We talked about a little bit about this before we started the radio show, but this last class that we had down in the Iowa City area, I was very, very intrigued and pleased to see many people from many walks of life coming to this class that I wouldn't have necessarily expected to be there. We had some alternative therapy minded psychologists.
Mm-hmm,
we had
mm-hmm.
a pediatrics nurse. We had a psychiatric nurse. Even a lawyer.
All right.
And all of them were just intrigued and fascinated and wanted to know more about this.
Great.
So.
Great. You think maybe they'll come on board or get involved in maybe some of the other groups around there, potentially?
Well, it could be very much a possibility.
Yeah.
I know one of the psychologists that just came on in that particular office was still trying to find her niche.
Uh-huh.
And that was a question that came up, actually, is that whether or not she wanted to help people with those particular issues.
Well, I think there's being out in the field, and do you actually do any field investigations with the classes that you teach at the community college?
We only have gone to one location. That's one location that I actually considered safe.
Mm-hmm.
We can consider any location safe.
Right.
The location itself does have activity and quite a bit of it. But the spirits there, as per the owners of the house, have all crossed over and come back. So you're not going to have that mental chaotic, you know, first contact with these students. You're going to have, if any paranormal activity does happen, it's going to be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be requested.
Of
course.
Because
a lot of the activity will not occur unless you ask for it.
Yes. Now, well, again, I say you're going to find your niche. You're going to find your giftings. No place but in the field, ultimately. For the longest time when I began doing this, you know, I kind of sat back because of the possible influence that I would have in the field with the teams. But thinking that might be a problem. Sometimes it is, but nonetheless, I started going on investigations, not only being called in to do so, but just for my own benefit, for the experience, and it's been educational, eye-opening for me, and it's, can I say, a place I like. You know, I'm learning like all the rest about the technical aspects, the scientific aspects, and it's just great.
That's great.
What do you, what's your thinking and feeling as a group about working with other groups?
Stephanie, you want to answer that one?
Well, actually, we do have a mutual friend, and she actually is a consultant for another paranormal group in the area, and that's actually what has gotten us involved a couple of times. I know that she asked Shannon if he could go with her, and then this last time, last week, she called us in because she needed to get some help in crossing something over, and then we asked for her services this last week, so we've been working back and forth.
Right.
Regularly in the past week or so.
Great. Glad to hear that. I hope that continues to expand. I very much believe in this this concept of para-unity. I don't feel that it in any way you know, sticks us in a box. You've got to have unity. Unity and diversity goes together. They complement one another. And but the more access to tools, to knowledge that you have, it benefits everybody across the board. And so I view it as a positive thing. And in some cases, I think the paranormal teams need to come together and establish, at least for themselves, you know, professional, strict, moral guidelines. What do you think about those?
Yeah, the guidelines are definitely necessary just to keep a cohesion to what your purpose is and what your goal is. Otherwise, it can be scattered all over. The client's not necessarily getting the help they need. One of the things that has frustrated me recently is that with paranormal teams, there seems to be this great competition over how many gadgets one can have.
Toys.
And actually, they have. I've noticed that they have a tendency to miss the most important one, and it doesn't cost anything. That's listening.
That's right. That's right.
And I've actually had a close personal friend of mine that actually had forgone getting help because
mm-hmm.
she was afraid. She's seen all the stuff on TV, but everybody's going to drag all this stuff into their house and cause
right.
a spectacle. And I said, honey, that is not necessary. I would never do that to you. And
well, another thing of concern. I'm sorry I'm butting in. I was just thinking about the family that we were working with just this past week. They had another group that came in and said, well, we're going to have to do an overnight, we're going to stay overnight and do an entire investigation. Well, this family has a lot of people living in the home. It's a
right.
big ordeal to have to get everyone out of the house for a whole night.
Right.
Yeah. Especially small children. We have small children.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to break the routine and
say,
okay, everybody out.
Well, yeah, and
but,
that goes back to the question of ethics. I mean, basically, because they couldn't have these ideal conditions to do their investigation, they basically walked out on this family that needed help.
That's too bad. Very bad. So I
can tell you from a technical side.
Yes, please.
But not having the family there, we're walking bioelectric, you know, to borrow a Star Trek phrase, bags of mostly ugly bags of water. And if you don't change the battery path in there, you're not going to get the same results. You're not going to see the same stuff.
Right.
It changed the fields around. So asking the people to leave, it's harder to do the investigation because you're changing the norm and they react differently.
Absolutely.
You can't be changing the experiment and expect the same results.
That's right. So, Kevin, maybe you can share a little insight into this matter of toys and equipment. How should we be using them properly? What is their limitations, and how can they actually help when used properly?
Well, that's sort of the ongoing thing I've been helping Darcy with the last year that I've known her. She asked, well, what's this toy do? How does this work, and what would it pick up? And I explained physics and so forth, natural energies that's in the atmosphere, whatever, magnetism, heat, light, and so forth, and what to look out for, and what things are bogus and which aren't. Mm-hmm. Some things can interfere, some things can't. So without specific examples, it's a little hard to say. Like one of the things I pointed out to her, one of the first listenings she showed me, I listened to it and said it sounded to me as if the voice was compressed.
Uh-huh.
And then she expanded it out 37 times or something like that, and you literally could hear what was being said then in the recording instead of just saying that little blip.
Right. And what was you utilizing initially? Was it EVP, digital recording, or?
Yeah, it was a digital recorder. It sounded like they were getting a compressed. If you go back to show a little bit of my age here, if you go back to the old reel-to-reel days, they went from 51 inch or 60 inches a second down to 1 7/8 inch a second.
Right.
That you could adjust different speeds on, and it sounded like it was like zip compressed.
Right.
So it slowed it down, you could hear it. And nowadays, the digital stuff, they may get it, but you start running into what's the digital limit of what the different encryption or coding methods for the sounds work. And that's where I help the group out. This might not work. Try this. That's a waste of time. Don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I bring to the group.
Yeah, well, you had a fascinating story about the EM pumps. We were talking about EM pumps a while back and how they were building those online.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go into explaining that a little bit, Kevin?
Oh, the EM pump? Yeah, it's called the Van de Graaff generator.
That's what we should be using.
That's what you should be using. And they were using all sorts of things and basically creating a giant static field.
Right.
Instead of trying to create a linear field. A linear field you can modulate. It's sort of like going into a room of maybe 200 people talking all at the same time and trying to listen to one conversation across the room. You're not going to hear it. But if you have 200 people humming a note and one person talking, you will hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that sort of delta thing you have to look at. And understanding the physics and natural physics, like in her class, I was explaining that there's a lot of physics out there that they're only getting around to notice. And in thunderstorms, there are multiple types of lightning that go upward that were only discovered in the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. Wow.
So there's a lot of different things out there that people are just now getting around, getting a time and chance to notice. I'm wondering that.
So,
and of course,
again,
the majority of what's going on out there is frequency and energy.
Right.
The more you know about that, the better armed you are.
Right. So would you say that a lot of the modern-day equipment that we are utilizing, it's good, or it also has some limitations over the old equipment that was used in past days of investigation?
Well, this is where my background really helps, because I've been working in communications as a little kid, videotaping football games back when they were reel-to-reel analog, and now going into digital, and the newer equipment has one major advantage. It uses less power, so there's less background interference.
Right.
The older equipment has the advantage that you don't have anything inherently messing with what you're really recording.
Okay.
As in a digital recorder, it's all transferred into ones and zeros, and that algorithm could mask or hide something. Or in an analog, you got what you got.
Right.
So, but it took a lot more power than motors are noisy from an EM field standpoint. So there's, it's pros and cons. It's how you use the tool. It's not always the exact tool. It's, as a professional will tell you, it's the right tool for the right job. And
exactly.
You've got to take a look and evaluate and figure out, okay, what tool will work here and what won't.
Right.
It's a little hard to answer your question that, other than that way. Sorry exactly. about being vague, but without specifics, it's sort of hard.
Yeah. And, of course, if any of our guest hosts or the audience have questions for our guests, specific questions, please feel free to call in and ask those. You've got a great opportunity to do so. I'll give out that number and for you. That number, call-in number, of course, is 1-619-639-4606. 1-619-639-4606. Micah, any particular questions on your side?
Of course, I always target at the sensitive, so my question is to them.
Okay.
When you're presented with a case, do you do an initial reading to see what you could be facing? And then once you're on the investigation, do you lead with your gift or with the more scientific approach?
Okay. No, I don't do an initial reading. I go in cold into whatever home or business we're going into. I like to just pick it up as I'm going in there. I use a lot of equipment. I use it as validation for what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And what was the rest of your question?
Well, that was basically it. Doing the initial reading, and then once you're on the investigation, if you lead with your gift, mediumship or sensitivity or intuition, whatever the case may be, or with a more scientific approach via using the equipment.
I really feel myself that I combine the best of both worlds that way. By nature of what I do outside of this, I'm very procedure-driven, process-driven, so I look at the scientific part of it, and I really use that scientific part to back up my intuition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which I think is a very good way to operate, and in fact, I'll put this general question out as well. To me, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think there's a contradiction. I think these things can be measured as scientific from those different perspectives. And as you pointed out, they eventually validate what is actually happening. As I've always said in this field of work, ultimately, we're studying ourselves as well as these phenomena. These phenomena are a part of who we are. The collective consciousness, and we're learning. We have a ripe opportunity to learn and to expand into this field of what we call higher consciousness and understanding today, like no other. But we need to do it right.
I totally agree with you. And each investigation that I go on is a new learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's true. That's one of the things when we first started this group, that's why we wanted to blend the metaphysical along with the science. Because not only did I want to use the metaphysical as another tool to add to our arsenal,
mm-hmm.
but I also wanted the science to validate the metaphysical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we found in a lot of cases that's exactly it.
Yeah. And according to classical education, the metaphysical is just as valid as the scientific, rational way of investigation as well. Would you say
yeah.
that's correct, Kevin?
Oh, I agree. If I might share something with you, I got into quantum physics when I was in college, and Einstein's theories of multiple dimensions and so forth, and seeing
yes.
it. And I was warned that once you start visualizing these things, you can open doorways to things that are better left untouched.
Uh-huh.
And you can fall into what they call the hole of the number of the beast. I mean,
right.
it may sound as if metaphysics has nothing to do with physics, but being warned by professors and fellow students at
right.
graduate levels to watch out for these things, you
right.
kind of have to really take it to heart.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that was brought to the public a few years ago when there was such a concern about them trying to possibly create a hole in the fabric of what we call reality. Is that not so?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of the science fiction stories have gone into that. The number of the beast, doorways to other times and dimensions and that sort of thing. And a lot of it sort of goes with popular what-ifs that really aren't that way. Like a lot of people saying, well, you can travel backwards in time. Well, you can see things from a different time, but
mm-hmm.
you're a dimensional being moving through time. So how do you go backwards?
Yes.
It's sort of like if I went back, the old philosophical question, if I could travel in time and I went back and killed my father, would that mean I would disappear? You know, if you run into those sort of things, too, that they've never made sense to me.
Sure.
And I've never seen any proof that they can do that, but I have seen footage of things that, okay, chairs don't spin by themselves or decide to move across the floor.
Right.
And there are a group of chairs and only one moves. If it was an earthquake, more than one would move.
Right, right.
So you have to sit there and go, that's not easily explained. Now start looking for other alternatives.
Yes.
So I'm a firm believer in Occam's razor. If you can explain everything else away, whatever you have left is probably it.
Probably it. And a lot of times, wouldn't you say, the simplest answer is probably the correct answer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In my line of work, I tell people that I always ask the obvious questions for the simple reason that they're the most expensive to fix at the end and should have been and should not have been overlooked in the beginning.
Right.
Because everybody has a different view on what that means. And
of course.
You end up with 20 different people, 20 different views, and only one of them will be right.
Yes, correct. So, Shannon, what's your perspective on your experiences and within the field?
Well, I just came into this a little over a year ago. And I have to tell you, I was pretty skeptical
mm-hmm.
up until that point, but I've just seen too much stuff. You could not call it necessarily, you know, absolute scientific proof.
Right.
Just a weight of anecdotal evidence. And, you know, things like EVPs, which seemed very consistent in where I was personally there, and that was not something spoke in the room. And the sound of someone running down a hallway when there's no one there, it's pretty convincing for me.
What brought you into the field? Curiosity?
Well, like I said, my wife was very interested in it, so
okay.
kind of where I ended up.
That will do it.
Yep,
the cat has a big influence.
We have a question from the chat room.
Good.
Jamie would like to know, and it's a two-part question. She was thinking, because I said, come on, Jamie, I know you have a question. She always has a question. We love her.
Of course she is.
So she was thinking along the line of how Darcy's colleagues at the college, she was wondering how the class is accepted and are you, Darcy, taken seriously professionally, because it's really hard to break through on this side of academia.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I know I've had people that have come through the class saying, hey, I want a certificate. I want accreditation in this. And it's like, it's really difficult to get. A lot of people that are teaching right now are teaching because they've had years of experience. That's pretty much the yardstick that the field is going off of right now. Right, wrong, or indifferent. But the school has embraced it very, very much. I'm very happy to be working with them. They've been very supportive. It's simply continuing education right now. But I do like to stress within the class that there are so many areas within the collegiate spectrum that can add to this field and to add to helping get the answers that we're looking for.
At this
She'd
point,
also like to know how you were able to get permission to teach the class. Because it's such a breakthrough. And by the way, she wanted me to tell you that she's proud of you for getting the chance to present this class.
Exactly. Yeah, I happen to have a friend that was teaching classes already at the college level and just happened to mention it offhand to one of the coordinators that, hey, I have this friend of mine. She does a lot of work in the paranormal field. And he's like, what, you mean with the instruments? She said, well, yeah. She's been doing it for a while. And he was like, he's seen the stuff on TV. And he said, well, we've had people come in and teaching it from a different angle before, but not from what the perspective we see in the popular media. Would she be willing to come in and comment on that? And, we talked, and I said, sure. There's good things about the media. There's bad things about the media. I'm not going to teach it strictly from the perspective of television, and they said that's fine. So I was really happy to have that cooperation. But that's pretty much what happened. I just happened to know somebody that knew somebody.
Well, for our list, go ahead.
No, I was just saying usually the best way.
Yeah. At this point, are there fellowships? Are there people out there that have certification in this type of work?
You know, there are, and it's beginning to grow here in the United States more. It used to be something you could only get from Europe,
right?
Mainly in the countries of Scotland and England.
Right.
Because Oxford used to have, I think they still do, have a degree in parapsychology. Edinburgh does too.
Okay.
The only certification program that I've known that actually has carried any weight that I've seen so far, this is just my personal experience talking.
Right.
Is Dr. Lloyd Auerbach's certification that he has out of California.
Uh-huh.
And he is a certified parapsychologist. He works with the Ryan Institute in North Carolina.
Of course.
Which is a very prestigious learning institution for paranormal.
Yes.
He's on a lot of different boards. Very heavily involved, and his is the only one I've seen that seems to have carried any weight with anybody as far as a real certificate.
Right.
And I do see that some colleges now are starting to open up their minds to the idea of having parapsychology degrees, but there really is no standard put in place as to what that degree makes up or what is it made up of.
Yeah.
A lot of it is still based in psychology.
Right.
and not as much the physics, which I kind of like would like to see.
Sure, of course. Well, once again, thank God you're a pioneer here. You're taking that next step that is necessary to eventually bring not only recognition but academia to bear. And you're doing it, I think, well. You have a very open mind. You're very intelligent and articulate. And just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of help, and none of it's done on my own. And that's what I always like to stress in my classes, is networking is very key.
Yes,
and,
yes.
This whole isolationism, I agree with you 100%. Parent unity is required. And I've been fortunate enough to reach out and ask people, and I've been amazed how open and honest they are and offering help.
Good. Well, unless we got another question, let's go to Lori and get some of her perspective.
I just kind of came on. Like I said, I started with a different group, and Darcy happened to be in that group before she kind of started this one, and the other one fizzled out. And I went to her class, learned a lot. Kevin actually did a little lecture in there, kind of on the physics part of it, and kind of learned a lot there too. So it's just been really interesting. I'm kind of the baby of the group, so I'm still kind of learning a lot.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And what would you say sold you in trying it again after going through the class?
I had watched a lot of the TV shows, kind of had some of my own experiences when I was younger, and I really kind of look at it more scientific, so
mm-hmm.
I like to have the video camera going, I like to have the audio going, just to try to catch that myself.
Yeah. All right,
so
how about Kath?
Go ahead. I'll just say, one of the first things I noticed when I had Lori in the class is that we went through a workshop on how to analyze audio evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of people in that class that were kind of like, didn't hear anything. Nope, I didn't get anything out of that. And Lori's like, really? I got three things. Want to hear? And I'm like, wow. So we could use somebody like her.
Yes.
I was really glad when I extended the offer that she said, great. Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm encouraged. How about Kathy? Let's hear from Kathy again.
Well, you were just talking about the EVPs.
Yes.
And I was going to say, I walk around with the recorder and I'll say, if you talk into the little red light, and then I'll hear from them and they'll go, but you can hear us without us talking into the little red light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they will, and I will get EVPs, but a lot of times, you know, because of the mediumship, I will get other things also.
Right. Besides personal experiences, what brought you into to find work as well?
I have been working on my spirituality,
mm-hmm.
and I have been doing that for several years, and working with doing the mediumship, doing meditation, and this just seemed like the next step. I like
mm-hmm.
to help people.
Yes.
And to help people, I love to find the natural causes for things if I possibly can.
Right.
So I dig to find what's the natural reason for this happening.
Right.
So, but this just seemed like the next step.
Excellent.
Well, and I have to add, too, in Kathy's behalf, that we had a very trying case not too long ago with an individual that had reached out to the paranormal community for help in her home,
and actually had 1 to 2 groups turn away from her once they discovered that she had a mental condition.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, when she first reached out to us and started communicating with us, I was beginning to wonder if maybe this might be more internalized than externalized.
Right.
But after sharing with the group, we did go into the home and do an assessment. And, oh boy, did she have stuff going on in there.
Right.
And the thing that was most helpful was that Kathy was there. And if she could see in her the sensitivity that she had.
Right.
That she could see how it was drawing things in but trapping it there.
Right.
So she was able to counsel the young lady into visualization techniques and how to emotionally deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to report she's doing much better now. Her husband is very
great.
Very happy.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it wasn't for Kathy being there and being able to see that spark in that other person and nurturing
it,
she'd probably still be looking for help.
Exactly. She would be. And I commend you in taking that extra step. You know, folks, it really doesn't matter whether a person has a mental condition. We all have mental conditions. We all may not be, what's the word I want here, diagnosed. But nonetheless, doesn't matter if this is imagined or if there is an underlying truth, because these manifestations, these experiences, for those who do not have an understanding, can be very scary, very life-changing. And why allow them to slip between what's the word I'm searching for? Cracks here. I don't care. I take every call that I get and Team Gaia gets as very serious. And oftentimes, as ex-Father Francis McNutt would honestly tell you, I think, he runs a Christian healing ministry out of Jacksonville, Florida, that there is a great deal of influence between the spiritual and the physical. And if we can offer help to these folks, not only concerning their mental conditions, and maybe helping them also get in touch with that spiritual. And many of these folks, there's nothing wrong, per se, other than they're being influenced through the spiritual. And it's not understood in academia. It's not understood in psychology or the medical field. It's a reality. I think they're closing their eyes to it. But again, as a priest that goes in and helps people, if I don't cover my bases, if I don't utilize every bit of technology, every bit of professionalism, and something goes wrong, people get hurt, I'm held responsible. If I've got to cover my butt, all of these paranormal groups need to cover theirs. And never allow people to slip through the cracks. Somehow, we can help each and every one of them. And I think ultimately that's what we're here to do.
I agree. Absolutely.
So I was going to say, I couldn't agree more. But it's the people, it's the living, breathing people that we're really here to help.
Yes.
It's time for our meditation break.
Okay. So, folks, why don't we take about 5 minutes? Everybody stay where they're at. We're going to take a little meditation break, get that cup of coffee, run to the restroom, do what you have to do, or just remain here and take a few minutes and silently contemplate our discussion and the infinite possibilities. And we'll be right back after our break.
And our meditation tonight is Archangel Ariel Meditation for Healing.
Excellent.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
And welcome back to Spiritual Spectrum. I'd like to thank our sponsors, which of course is Rob and the entire LPLive.com community and family. I'd also like to thank the Apostolic Communion as well as the Order of Friends of Jeshua, which are a community that was created to offer support to those who continually seek to embody the Christ message of love, forgiveness, compassion, oneness, and peace. And of course, I'd like to thank our listening audience who have helped to keep us on the air, our friends and fans and those folks who contribute by calling in, asking questions. We love to hear from you. We want the show to be interactive. We want it to be helpful, informative. And of course, I'd like to thank my co-hosts, both Micah and Rhonda. Yeah, I couldn't do it without either one of you. And it's always an honor to serve. And I'd like to also thank these folks and every paranormal team that is out there for doing what they do, coming into the lives of folks, giving them help, because I get quite frustrated with the spiritual community, especially with my own Christian spiritual community. When I was about 18 years old, my mother and another gal who was to become my aunt for a period of time, they had come home one Saturday night. They had gone out. And why this happened, well, I know why it happened, but nonetheless, they came home to my mother's place in Kearney, Nebraska. And they walked in, and both were physically attacked by an entity. Now, prior to this time, there had never been any experiences within this place of residence, which my mother was living in. But they were both physically, as well as emotionally and mentally, attacked by an entity. And my mother, growing up Missouri Synod Lutheran, of course, got on the phone immediately and called the local pastor, and basically was told, well, I think you two need to take two aspirins, go to bed, sleep it off, and then don't call me in the morning, but Monday morning, seek out a mental health practitioner and get some counseling. Wow. I had a discussion recently, which I relived that experience, and it just angered me how my mother was treated. It angered me that eventually the only place my mother could turn was to her own son. And as I said, I was about 18. I guess I was destined to do this type of work. And I said, Mom, calm down, things will be okay, we'll handle this, we'll get through it, let me see what I can do. And within a week after the situation occurred, the place had been cleared spiritually. But it's so frustrating that there is such ignorance, such fear, such blindness out there. And again, people need one another, and they need this kind of help. So I commend each and every one of you for your giftings, your talents, and for contributing to this work.
Well, I have to thank you too, Father Mike, for reaching out to the paranormal communities and offering your assistance where, you know, others might fall short. I know some investigations that I've had, we have had similar situations where they have turned to their church. And I sadly heard from one client that she turned to her prayer circle and said, well, obviously you brought it upon yourself. It's up to you to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is totally ignorant.
And unfortunately, because when I'm in prime time, I can't give my initial response to that. Except I will say, forgive them, because that's the new F word.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I realize there's moments I can be very controversial, but here's the reality, folks. Your medieval 16th century theology doesn't match reality. And this reality has always been among us. It's not anything new. We need to remember our foundations, yes. But we also need to move on and grow into this ultimate reality that we're talking about. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Mind you, I have great respect for those earthbound, both positive and negative. I have great respect for demonics. But I do not, will not allow myself to be intimidated and fearful. Not when I know that the creator of this universe, this reality, this ultimate reality, loves and seeks to empower each and every individual to take back their lives, their homes, their families, their communities. No fear. No fear. Let's step up to the plate and do the right thing. So you call the heretic. So you call the devil worship. Well, shame on you for not helping, getting involved. What keeps you from that? Your own fear and ignorance. We've got to grow beyond this. So I'll get off my soapbox, and please, share with us those things that you want to get out to the public as a group.
Wow, step in there, guys.
Anyway, let's hear from the angel lady. I love angels. They help me so much in my work.
Well, and here I was going to say, like, I want to follow that.
There's no fact to follow.
Well, you know, actually, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, Darcy, you can go ahead. I'll follow.
No, I was just going to say, if it wasn't for you, I never would have believed that I could call on an angel for help. No, I honestly have to say that because I always thought that angels had better things to do.
You know, that is something we really need to get over because they are multidimensional beings and they can be anywhere, anytime, for whatever reason. So there's nothing too small that they can't handle, and you're not going to be taking away from somebody else's dire situation by calling upon them.
Right.
And you know, it's such a blessing to have them, and I work with them all the time. I can feel them in my house. They're always protecting my house. It's just second nature that whenever I need protection, before I go on an investigation, I make sure that I ground myself. I make sure that I call upon them. visualize myself as being protected as well. So it's not completely all up to the angels. But yeah, they can definitely help. They really do raise the vibration.
Well, you know, the Bible calls them ministering spirits. They're not all trying to get on one head of the pin. They really do help and are meant to serve mankind.
I will have to say that I've called upon them for the last two investigations we've had, and there is a definite vibrational change in those buildings that we've been in. It just feels lighter, brighter. You can breathe easier. So there's definitely something going on there that people can actually feel.
Yes.
Do you find that when you call on the angels that it helps with your own clarity and actually to the other sensitives, Stephanie, I believe also, when you call upon the angels, you feel that vibrational change, you feel the energy lighten. Is it easier to focus your sensitivities once that happens?
You know, I do think it does, because it raises your vibration, and that's kind of where you need to be to fill up some of those things, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for everybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, it offers a great deal of validation to me when you call in the angels like you, Steph, and then I play back the EVPs later, and I can hear voices that shouldn't be there, speaking as one, you know, saying, we've got this, we have
right.
you, you know, and it's just, it just astounds me. And I can't.
And I guess too, I should say that I don't just call upon the angels. I actually receive some angelic healing symbols that I do think raise the vibration of an environment. And so I've been blessed to be given the opportunity in the past few weeks to really use those and to see if those do make a significant improvement. And I'm pleased to say I believe it does. Like I said, we could all feel such a change in the vibration afterwards. Even the clients that we had stated that their homes felt better. And, yeah, then we had the backup with the EVPs of getting those very interesting voices afterwards.
Excellent.
And I agree with Stephanie, but I also think the angels walk with us every day.
They do.
And then when you call upon them, they just help with a little more power. But they are here every day, and I think it helps the clients when they understand that this is not some hocus pocus. This is something that my creator has provided to help them and to help me.
Right.
And I don't want to lose sight either that we do have our own power.
Yes.
We can take back our own homes without really even, we don't have to use the angels. For me, it's a comfort, it's a help. But we have the right to say, you know, we're not going to let that negativity into our homes.
Right. Right.
And one thing I always like to think about is the fact that, you know, they're always here helping us, but it never hurts to be specific. It never hurts to ask for what you're really looking for.
Absolutely. I agree. Very good insight. You know, one of the ministries of angels, and this is very important for all of us, no matter what spiritual tradition we call on, but biblically, they represent not only messengers of God, but when they are present with you, they are there representing His presence, not only through them, but the rest of creation. And in my simplicity, I have come to realize the greatest force that we all have within us, and we need to nurture it, we need to value it, We need to thank the divine creator for it. And that is his indwelling presence that resides within all of us. It's there mm-hmm. to empower us and bring us to wholeness. I've got a technical question here, maybe for Kevin, the possibilities. I have come to believe that most folks, when they refer to residual energies, they're out there promoting that this idea of residual energy is non-intelligent. I personally believe there is intelligence behind this residual energy that is coming forth from the homes, from the geographical areas in which the home might reside. What would you say to that? What can we learn from that residual energy if you agree with my concept?
Actually, I do agree with your concept, and it's all about, along many different religions, it's all about being in harmony with your environment. When you're not in harmony with your environment, all you're getting is agitated energy. And I don't know many people who would like to sit down in front of a TV and watch the gray static screen like at you all the time.
Right.
And that can't be helpful. So, yes, there is being in harmony with the energies around you do make you. I personally have been into meditation and deep meditation for a number of years. And I know that 4 hours of meditation is almost the equivalent of about 7 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been
mm-hmm.
able to physically prove that. So, yes, being in tune and having the energies right, yes, I do believe that. There is, and from my personal experience, there is background energies, and then there's intelligent background energies.
Right.
So I agree completely on that.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kevin. Anybody else would like to contribute to that?
What he said.
Okay, great. Rhonda?
We have a question. We have a question
okay.
from the chat room.
Sure.
Jamie's piping up again. She'd like to know if you teach spiritual power to your clients.
Absolutely. Especially when it comes to taking the house back. They have that power to call upon. And, you know, as Stephanie so eloquently pushed, we have the angel. And they will come and they will walk with us if we ask. And sometimes they'll walk with us when you don't ask, but sometimes you have that specific empowerment within yourself to ask for that help. It makes you feel so much better, know that
yeah.
there's something to call upon.
Yeah. And I think it's important to understand as well. It's great to have a spiritual teacher or leader, a pastor, who is willing to come in and help by saying prayers, slinging some holy water, so forth and so on. But we're there not simply to recite prayers and make the sign of the cross. We're there to incorporate the family into empowering themselves. If we don't do that, we are doing them and the entire community a great disservice. The family should and must participate in the clearing and the restoring of balance to their own home and their own life. It's something that they must participate and cooperate, and they are better for it if they do.
And when they participate, they're also increasing the intention of their permission for whoever it is that's there to help someone.
That's right.
And empowers that intention. I'll give you an example. a couple weeks ago, I was sitting in meditation, and we were preparing for the grounding and align exercise that we do. And during that time period, somebody walks into the storefront, and all of a sudden, I start getting this massive headache in one of my eyes. And one of the other ladies that meditates in the group, she looks at me and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not." And she's like, "What's wrong?" So I look over my shoulder at the man that walked in, and she looks at me and she's, "What's up with him?" I said, "There's an attachment with him." And it was actually attacking me. So I went into, quote, warrior mode to remove this entity from this man. I heard very distinctly said to me, "You can't remove me. You weren't given permission." I said, "Okay, fine. Ooh. But I do have the ability to get you out of this store."
Yes.
"You can wait outside."
Is this
so
if we're not bring it up, Micah?
Yep. If we're not given permission to remove the problem or empower the family, it's a lot more difficult to help them.
Right. The individuals, correct. But let me also say, and no disrespect to lawyers out there, but wear the foot, wear the shoe if it fits. A lot of especially darker forces, and I'll even say some of them are demonic, are very legalistic in what they do. Oh, we have a right to be here. We have a right to bring suffering on this person because of their sins or because of things that they've done or things that they have called in. Guess what? That doesn't work with me. I may not have the permission. I will get the permission after you're out of here and is no longer an influence. But I do have the authority as a child of God not to see my life oppressed nor these people. So shut up and go back to God.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And that's something I've run into a couple of times, Mike. I'm glad you said that story because we've come, you know, having the class as I do, the class is open to everyone that wishes to participate.
Yeah.
And interesting people come in the door for different reasons. And I have had a few that came in as part of their spiritual development.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have one specific case where the gentleman did come in, and I found out later on he did have an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't turn up until we actually went on the field trip together. So here we all were, locked in this house with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a very valuable lesson about attachments, because we did everything we could to protect that house before we started that field trip, because we wanted everybody to have the most positive experience possible.
Right.
No protections you put down on a property or in a location will protect you from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's attached to the person's energy field.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. That was a real aha moment.
I have the wrong circuit breaker if you want a physical analogy.
Okay. Well, it's my belief, and once again, I can be stand corrected here. The majority of what we are dealing with in most of these cases are earthbound spirits that have not gone into the light to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have not done that, they need to subsist to maintain their well-being in the particular state that they are in. They need to feed off living energy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be positive, whether they be negative, it's all interconnected. And the best thing we can do, we minister to the living. Well, we also need to minister to those who are not crossed over, because they need to cross over. I realize there's never a guarantee that we can help them cross, but we must try. Again, I think God's done everything for the human race. It's us that need to wake up to the particulars and to take it within our own hands, humbly and graciously, and minister both to the living and dead. I will guarantee you one thing. If you don't, the problems can get worse. And wherever, whether you have positive or negative entities who have not crossed over, not far from them, you have demonics. Because the demonics do not want these people to cross over, to go
Absolutely.
Into the light, to be reconciled, to be healed, to return to their family and friends, to be made whole so that they can come back as ministering spirits among us and help their friends and family. If
I'm
we
very
don't
glad
do
you
it,
said that.
If we don't do it, who's going to do it?
Yes. I mean, I agree with that 100%. And that raises an interesting point that we've had to deal with on investigations to, up to this point, is that we have these people, they know they have activity in the home, and it's harmless. It's okay. It's benign.
Mm-hmm.
If they were gone, we'd miss them. They're pets.
Yes.
And it's like, this is not a pet. This is a person in purgatory. They need to go home.
Yes.
You can't keep them. And just as you pointed out, where you have earthbound, the demonic cannot be too far behind because they will take advantage of that situation.
They will?
Yeah, eventually. Just give it time. And there's some schools out there that don't believe it when I say that.
Right.
But it is true. I've seen it in a lot of documented cases where people have put it off too long. That, no, we want to keep them, they're fine, they're okay, and then all of a sudden something negative happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to call in help.
Right, right.
Yeah, I liken it to heroin addiction.
Yeah. And the other thing we need to always keep in mind, whether we're dealing with the living or the dead, we must show respect.
Yeah.
We must treat them as we would treat ourselves. It's so important that we understand that. I view a practice which I see done all the time. I understand why they're doing it. But provoking is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it is very dangerous. And it's not showing respect. We have to understand whether they belong there or not, they're there. And that has become their territory. And just as you and I would maintain our territory, our home, protected. But when you have a bunch of people coming in, poking and prodding and threatening and wouldn't you respond back in anger and frustration?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's.
Go ahead.
Well, and that's one of the things that we actually bring forth in the class. I had the opportunity of meeting a very, very nice young man that had been in the field for a number of years as intention. And he did it for the, I saw on the form that he was doing a presentation on provoking, and I'm like, oh, no. Don't be teaching everybody how to do, no, you know.
Why?
I'm with you. You can't provoke something, especially if you don't know what it is. And as it turns out, I was very pleasantly surprised to find out that he had had a horrible event happen to him.
mm-hmm.
after years of doing this. And he was going cross-country with his message and his photograph,
mm-hmm.
showing what this thing had done to him and to other people that were following this practice.
Right.
And I was so impressed with it that I came up to him after and I said, I am so glad you're showing this. I teach paranormal education. You wouldn't believe how many hard noses I have come into that class that have been subjected to several years of TV thinking that this is a macho rock star mentality that they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't say macho because we have a
yeah.
lot of people that do this. But he was so grateful for me thanking him that he said, you let me know. I will do a webcast anytime, anywhere
right.
with your class. And
right.
he's doing one next week.
Yeah. There is only one time do I make an ultimatum on Earthbound and Demonics. And that is stop what you're doing, live in harmony, or go back to God, because you don't want to make me come back here a second time. We've got
and how many times?
Two.
How many times do you have to come back a second time?
So far, not at all, not at all, because they know what I will do to them if they do, or with them. And I should recorrect that and say not what I will do, but what the Creator will help me do. And it's out of love. We call it maybe tough love. But, again, we all must show respect for one another. We all must love one another. We don't have to like one another, but we're commanded to love one another and to treat each other as we would want to be treated. I think that's just a golden rule that's part of every spiritual tradition. And we have to draw the line and say no more. You cannot do harm. You cannot do damage. You cannot scare. You cannot pick upon these people. It's just not acceptable. Let's come to agreement, or listen, there's a better world waiting for you. Go into it. Go into that light, because that light is only reflecting back to us the light we have lived upon this earth. It's not condemning. It's only like a mirror. It reflects back to us. That light is present as an invitation to walk into it, to be healed, to be forgiven, to be regenerated, to grow in the wholeness, no matter how long yet that process may take. It's an invitation, and that's why it's there. And that's why the demonics ultimately seek to block us from it. So in our closing few minutes here, is there any specific things you would like to say to our listening audience? And I'd also like to invite each and every one of you back.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you being here and again for what you do.
That's great. Well, the only thing that I wanted to add is that, you know, on top of the whole networking thing, which has been absolutely invaluable in the last couple of years, the other thing that's always helped us in our field in helping with our clients is asking the other side for help. And it doesn't always have to be angelic.
Right.
We learned that this weekend. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
We had this gentleman that was stuck in a home. He was extremely angry. He was very frustrated. His life was taken by throat cancer.
Okay.
He had a lot of frustration built up in himself, and he was taking it out on the family.
Right.
And we had the medium with us that was talking. And I said a few words trying to convince them there's a better place to be. You know, you'll be healed. And the medium turned to me and says, well, you realize you're saying you're full of stuff. And I'm censoring myself. And I said, well, fine. He doesn't want to listen to me. He listened to the others. We know they're talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple puzzled looks at me in the room. I was like, who's talking to him? No, we knew we had other spirits in the room that were talking to him.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the medium looked up and said, oh, my God. We were talking to another lady who was residing in the home. She had crossed over and was residing in the home. She stepped out of her room that she called her room and came down and walked him across.
Mm-hmm.
He convinced him to do it where the rest of us had failed.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful moment.
Yeah. Doesn't that just make you feel good?
It was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we have helpers everywhere. It's important
everywhere.
To know that even though you may not believe in the angelic, maybe you don't believe in the creator the same way everybody else does, but there is spirit that is willing to work with us if we ask.
Yeah. Well, Rhonda, any questions on your side?
No, not right now.
Okay. Well, folks, I think we're pushing the wire here. Again, thank you for coming on. Hopefully we can get you back on. 2 hours just isn't enough. Give us three. I don't know. I'm crazy. Anyway, again, folks, thank you. And God bless you for what you do. And keep doing it. And thank you, Rhonda, for what you do, Micah. And thank you to our listening audience. And we want to close. I'll close with a blessing. And then each one of us can say goodnight. Love me now inside of you, for I am inside of you. I am there in every part of you, in each and every cell of your being. And it's only when you reach deep into yourself that you will come into a profound contact with me. And it is only when you love yourself eternally that you are able to love me eternally. I am the living Christ that you are, Jesus. Good night and blessings.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.